all queer people say this when they talk about their childhood. I was always different. And I think a lot of the ways in which I experienced being different had more to do with being on the autism spectrum than being queer and trans, but they're quite hard to separate out. They're just all different bits of me. So I guess when I got to sort of sixth form age, I started going to the theatre a lot. I came out as gay, which later on in the story turns out not to be quite accurate. So I came out as gay, and my first and only ever girlfriend and I went almost every week to see a theatre production. There was a charity that gave really, really cheap tickets to teenagers to go to the theatre. So we went really, really frequently, and I think I became very invested in the idea of queer culture, and I got very itchy feet. I wanted to move to London, actually, to be honest. I sort of had it in my head that London was where all the queers were, because I went to YLGC, which is sort of the youth contingent of LGCM. LGCM stands for Lesbian and Gay Christian Movement, YLGC, Young Lesbian and Gay Christians. And it doesn't really... YLGC doesn't really exist anymore. There's a reason why trans people tend to have a lot of qualifications and not very much employment. You have to be somebody who thinks a lot to realise that you're trans in an environment where everything is telling you that there's no such thing. But as soon as you come out, you become... your experiences make it hard for you to cope in a work environment, and you become an unattractive prospect to a lot of employers. Science as the obvious example, obvious in that that's where I work. I'll tell you a better example. When I worked at NHS 111, I was answering phones and helping people to find the right service for their health problem. And for the first few calls I took, people called me sir, which was weird because I sort of expected to be calling them sir. But anyway, people called me sir. One time there was a woman who told me, who said, are you comfortable talking about this? Would you rather that I spoke to a woman? And I was like, well, you are speaking to a woman. It was thrush. It wasn't a big, I've had thrush. Like, almost everyone has thrush at some point, right? But anyway, it ground me down, because I was really aware of being misunderstood by every single caller. And every single caller, I had to gender them based on their voice. It was part of my job to gender the callers based on their voice, because the very first thing that you do whilst you're saying, can I take your telephone number, you're also clicking one of the gender buttons, which is very clinically unsafe when you think that about 3% of the population aren't simplistically one thing or the other, or they are simplistically one thing or the other, but they're not the thing that they sound like. Coming to Pride, and my paternal grandparents and my mum came with me to my first ever Pride, which was in London. I marched with Christians Together at Pride. I'm now on the organising committee for that. And in a big purple wig. and that was transformative for me. And singing Yes, Jesus Loves You at the top of my lungs as we walked past the homophobes with the big white yellow plaques saying we're going to hell, and sort of throwing glitter in the air, and it was just absolutely incredible experience, and just such and it, so empowering and so and deeply spiritual as well, because we were singing worship songs and telling people God loved them. And so then sort of, again, it's the dirty politics of the thing. And it makes me worried, you know. I think each year Pride has got less and less inclusive, actually, since my first Pride in London. And last year felt unusually trans-inclusive, actually. Just in terms of the mood, I didn't know anything, you know, I didn't go to the main stage. Well, I did, actually, I went to the main stage, but the only trans person who I know for sure was on main stage, not counting Conchita Wurst, who isn't trans, was Sharon, who got up to say, basically, by the way, God loves you and the homophobes are wrong. Everyone just stopped. Everyone just, you know, went to buy another drink when the person with the dog collar got up. And I just thought, do you know, like, in some ways, you know, 20 years ago, if someone with a dog collar had gotten up on the stage at Pride to say that, it would have been, you would have heard a pin drop. It just makes me sad that we've got to a place now where the Christian right have constructed the debate whereby, you know, it's like I was saying earlier, it's the rights of faith versus the rights of queerness, as if there's no such thing as a queer person of faith. And again, you know, the right to marry is pitted against the right to self-determination of gender and the right to own your body.